record book.
Some people wouldn't want that record book around.
I got into the preaching about the priesthood of Jesus Christ, and you know, the Roman Catholic Church, their priests are Baal worshipers. They're not real priests. They're priests for Baal, but not for Jesus Christ. According to the Bible, you are the priest now, and we'll get into that. But we was teaching on the priesthood of Jesus Christ and about how he is sitting at the right hand of God interceding for us. And thank God he is. He's on God's right hand. And he made that sacrifice himself. But in Genesis 14, look at Genesis 14. We'll go back just to rehash it for a few minutes. We talked about a guy named Melchizedek. And this guy showed up. And Abraham gave him tithes of all that he had. A tithe in the Old Testament was 10%. He gave him, and we're not, if you're sitting here this morning, you're visiting with us, we're not after your money. God's not broke. God doesn't need your money. But I tell you what happens is Christians, they give as the Lord blessed them. That's what the Bible tells us we ought to do. It says, when Abraham, verse 14, Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive. That was not his brother, it was his nephew, but the Bible says his brother. He was a brother as a Hebrew. And it says in verse 17, the king of Salem went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter. 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And there was a big question who this guy is. Because the Bible tells us he had no mother, he had no father, had no beginning of days, no end of days. Now, I've read all the different commentators, what they say and all that stuff, who he could be. It could be Enoch, someone said. It could be Enoch. It could be, because Enoch was translated. I had a guy teaching me one time, telling me that was the Holy Spirit incarnate. It wasn't. I don't believe that. I believe it was Jesus Christ, but it says he was like unto the Son of God. But look what it says, verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed the Most High God, and have delivered thine enemies into thy hands, and he gave tithes. I gave him tithes of all. Now go with me over to Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews 7. And Hebrews 7 talks about Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 7. And this guy is he's a mysterious guy in the Bible. And there's some mysterious mysterious things that happen in the Bible. And this guy was mysterious. And Melchizedek, being the priest of the Most High God, the Bible says. And Hebrews 7. And look at Hebrews 7, and look at verse 1. And this is Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of Salem. Melchizedek means king of righteousness, or king of righteousness, and after that the king of Salem, and which is the king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. It says, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil. Verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood. Now, I want you to put that back in your mind. Levi received the office of a priesthood. The Levites in the Bible, they didn't have any land. They didn't get any land like God when Moses divided up the land. They had cities, and he gave them cities and the roundabout the cities. And they had six cities of refuge where the Levites were. And the Levites were the ones that within the city, and they had They had cattle and everything else. But the people that was the Avenger of Blood, if somebody killed somebody, the Avenger of Blood after them, they could run to those cities, six cities. But they had more than six cities. I think I count 140-some cities they had in Israel. And these Levites possessed those cities. But the Levites were the ones that did all the sacrifices. If you come into a building here, you'll see a picture of the tabernacle and all that stuff. And it represents what's up in heaven. What you see, Doc used to say this, what's in heaven is God made them to make it down here. And they made a tabernacle down here, then they made a temple. Solomon had a temple, and it had an outer court, it had a holy place, and then it had the Holy of Holies, where the high priest could go in once a year. Now, Jesus Christ has become our high priest. But there was the Levites were the priests, and they were the servants, and they took care of the sacrifices, and they took care of all those things. And you say, what are your replacements? You the replacements. And look in Hebrews chapter 7, and look with me to Hebrews chapter 7, and look at verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, of whom the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his spoil. Verily I say, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithe of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. And he whose descendant is not counted from them received tithe of Abraham and blessed him that he had the promises. And with all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may say, Levi also who received tithes paid tithe to Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. And then it goes on down telling you about the different things that happened with him. Now go to chapter 8. Now go to chapter 8. Now the things which we have spoken of the Son, we have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. That's talking about Jesus Christ. It's saying we have a high priest now. When Jesus Christ suffered and died, the Bible says the priest went into the temple and the veil of the temple was rent in twain. That was showing God was done with that. God was done with the Levitical priesthood. God was done with it. And God said, that's it. And behind the curtains of the veil was the Ark of the Covenant. And that's where God dwelled. That's where the high priest went in and took the sacrifice of the blood for the people once a year. And when he went in, he went in and he had to put on certain clothing. He had to have certain robe. He had to have all linen clothes on, like almost like silk, so he wouldn't sweat. He couldn't sweat. And when he went in there, he took a pail of blood from a sacrifice that all Israel put their hands upon. And they put their hand upon it and it was sacrificed for the people. So when he went in there, and the Ark of the Covenant was about the size of this. I'm trying to rehash everything in my mind. The Ark of the Covenant was about this size. It was inside the Holy of Holies. And it had the Aaron's rod. It had the Ten Commandments in there and had those things. So when that priest went in, tradition has it, they tied a rope to his foot. So in case he wasn't right with God, God'd kill him right there. He would kill him. And that guy had bells on the bottom of his robe. So he was moving around. They could hear that he was still alive. It was a scary thing to be able to go in there to the throne of God, where God dwelt. And the Bible says the Lord said he dwelt between the two cherubims. Have you ever seen the cherubims? It was two cherubims on that. It was all solid gold. And when he went in there, he took that blood and poured it on the altar. And then once he's done, he got out of there once a year. And they had to do it every year. So when Jesus Christ was crucified, there was a veil over top of that Holy of Holies. When he was crucified, the priest came back in there and walked in there and went, oh, my God. Because the glory of God would kill him. And they realized God wasn't even there. And God was saying, I'm done with the Levitical priesthood. I'm done with them. We was over in Israel, and we was looking at, I see all these religious Jews over there. They have a priesthood. They're reorganizing right now. And they don't believe that Jesus Christ is Messiah. So I was talking to a Jew. He's my mailman. And he says to me the other day, I said, hey, man, when are you going to come back to church? He came to church a couple times. He sat right here, and he sat there, and he looked around when everybody was singing. He was like, wow. And y'all just, you just normally sing. He said, I haven't heard singing like that. Man, he came twice. And with the time he came, there was an Arab in the back. There was an Arab fellow sitting in the back, and he was a Muslim, and he was talking to me, and he owned a store, and I had him come, and he wanted to have some wanted me to answer some questions. So I had an Arab and a Jew sitting in here, and this Jew, I said to him, I said, when are you going to come to church? He said, I don't know. I said, hey, man, the Lord's coming back. He goes, well, we're looking for the Messiah. We're still looking for the Messiah. Israel's trying to prepare for the Messiah. I said, the Messiah already came. He's already been here. You rejected him. And he said, I got a rabbi girlfriend. It's a woman. I said, that's not even biblical. And he goes, it's a rabbi, he said, she'll come and debate you. I said, bring her to church. I love that. I said, we'll do it right in front of the church. Bring her on. I'd love for that. Wouldn't y'all love that? That'd be fun, man. That'd be a lot of fun. I said, I went through that whole thing about, Psalms 22. Who's that talking about? Isaiah 53. They always say that's talking about Israel. It's talking about Israel. So we went through a whole bunch. He says, and I said, you know what? You're a chicken. I said to him, you're a chicken. You won't come because you're afraid of the Bible. He says, I ain't afraid of the Bible. I said, you don't read it. And he went. He put his head down. I said, you're a Jew because you're born a Jew. I said, but you're not practicing Jew. Because a real practicing Jew is looking for, they're going to have a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice and all that. That's why Israel wants the Temple Mount back. They want that Temple Mount. I was in the institute. They have five Temple Institutes. I was in there with a guy, and I told you last week that the guy was wearing sunglasses. He was following us around. He was just to make sure we weren't going to mess with anything. And I started talking to him, and I said, is that menorah out there in the middle? They have, right out in the middle of the square, they got a gold menorah 6 foot high, and Linda and I stood next to it, and they had a plate glass bulletproof window, and I don't know why they would bulletproof, solid gold. And I stood in there, and I stood in there. I said, can we get pictures? So I stood right up in there, and took a picture with it, and my wife and I did. And I said, is that the original? He said, no, that's not the original. The original is in Rome. I said, that stinking Pope. He stole that thing, didn't he? No, if you read your Bible, you'll find when Nero came, it was Nero, came and destroyed the temple in 70 AD, he carried it back to Rome. He carried all the Roman, but the Ark of the Covenant disappeared. The Ark that where God dwelled between disappeared. I said to him, I said, do you all have the Ark of the Covenant? He said, yes, we do. See, they're right now wanting to rebuild that temple. Why? They don't believe Jesus Christ is Messiah, and he's in heaven on the right hand of God interceding for us. And I said, you don't believe Jesus Christ was God in the flesh? And he says, well, we don't believe, we believe he was just a prophet. So I said to him, I said, so you're expecting the Messiah to show up? He says, we're going to rebuild the temple. I said, when are you going to do that? He said, very soon. And I said, well, if you do that, you're going to start World War III. He said, no. He said, Muslims have this. They have two holy places, and we don't even have one yet. He said, we want to take back our holy place. Why? Because you asked the Jew, said, what are you doing for your sins? See, the key to the whole thing is, how are you getting your sins forgiven? Amen. How are you getting your sins? See, when the priest went in there, the high priest came in, took the blood and put it on the Holy of Holies, that was to atone for their sin for 1 year. Just 1 year. So next year, he had to do it again. And you know what? When you got saved, you got forgiven completely. I mean, it was done. You have to daily get things right between you and God. That's your standing. Your state is that you're with the Lord. You're saved. I mean, you're secure. That's your state. Or your standing. That's your standing. I've got it mixed up there. Your standing. But your state is you got to daily confess your sin. And so this priest went in there once a year, put his blood, the blood, and they had to have sacrifices. That's why the temple, so God says, I'm through with that. And he sent Rome down there to destroy the whole mess because God says, I'm done with it. Jesus Christ was the sacrifice. That's why John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He was done with that Levitical priesthood. And right now the Jews are trying to prepare to start it up again. And that's why all the Arabs, they're scared, they're hate, they're surrounded by their enemies, and they want to destroy Israel. And you wonder, why in the world they want to destroy Israel? Why is it? Why is it that everybody hates the Jews? Why? They said they're arrogant. Well, the Arabs are arrogant. I mean, people are arrogant. Do you want to kill them and drive them into the sea? You know why? It's because the Bible tells us they were God's chosen people. And the Bible says they were the apple of his eye. And here, you are the replacements as God's children. You wonder why the devil hates you? That young lady got saved. I'm going to tell you something. The devil hates your guts. He hates my guts. And he'll do everything he can to stop you from serving God. He'll do whatever he can to stop you. And that's why I wanted to talk about this priesthood thing, because, man, the Bible talks about being a living sacrifice. I mean, the Bible talks about we're kings and priests on our God. Now, the whole problem is this. It says we're kings and priests on our God. We're not kings now. Jesus Christ is not a king yet. But what everybody wants to do, they want to start being king first. But the place to start as a Christian is being a sacrifice. That's where you start. As a Christian, you don't become king unless you're a sacrifice. Matter of fact, you don't even become a priest unless you're a sacrifice. You got to be a sacrifice first. And that's where no Christian wants to be a sacrifice. Nobody wants to sacrifice nothing. They don't want to sacrifice nothing. They said, me, I want to be king. Everybody wants to sit on the throne. The old saying is, if Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne, then you're at his feet. If you're sitting on the throne, he's at your feet. You're going to let the Lord sit on the throne in your life? He should be. I mean, he hadn't got his kingly place yet. Even though he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's sitting on the right hand, and he's interceding for us. Right now, he's interceding as our high priest. He already paid the sin debt. He's already sacrificed. His blood's already been shed. I asked that Jew, I said, what are you doing for your sins? He didn't want to talk to me no more. Why? Because in the Bible, it says they had to have a lamb sacrifice. That's why John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, take away the sins of the world. So here Melchizedek shows up, and I believe that was Jesus Christ, even though it says he was like on the Son of God. But, you know, Daniel, in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar says the one in the fire with the three Hebrew children like the Son of God and was the Son of God. So I believe it was Jesus Christ. Because why? He had no beginning of days, no end. He was man. And you say, well, Jesus Christ came and born, had Mary as his mother. That was his physical mother. But the Bible says Jesus Christ had no physical mom and dad when it came to his eternity. Now, there's a couple guys that show up in the Bible. They end up in the Levitical priesthood. Take your Bible, look at 1 Samuel 3. These guys, we went through this before. These guys end up taking their office as a priest, as you know, lightly, and they were abusing it. There's a 1 Samuel 3. There's a lot of people that God's given you ability to, once you got saved, he says, okay, be a living sacrifice, and then he wants you to be interceder for other people, see other family members. When I got saved, first thing I did, I got concerned about my family. Because we were all Methodists. I said, man, my dad's not saved, my mom's not saved, none of them. You say, can a Methodist preach the gospel? Yes, they can. But they're not doing it anymore. Just like Baptists are not preaching the gospel anymore. So I got concerned with my mom and my dad and all my family. I started witnessing to them, praying for them, and seeking God for them. And that's what you ought to be doing as a child of God. You say, well, I do that. Well, good. Keep on. But are you a living sacrifice? I mean, most Christians today, the Bible tells us in the last days that perilous times shall come. We're there. It says, men should be lovers of their own self. We're there. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. America spends more money on pleasure than they do on God's work. You know, I think about this. Most Christians will spend more money on dog food and cat food than what they give to God's work. There's missionaries on the board back there all over the world. I was just reading about in Israel this morning. And there's a missionary over there. There's most Christians that spend more money on dog food and cat food and going out to eat than they put in God's work. They're selfish. They don't want to be no sacrifice. You know what the Bible calls that? That calls about sacrifice. If you're going to worship God, let me tell you something. When you came into the holy place, or when you came up to the Holy of Holies, or the holy place, or the outer court, the first thing you seen was a brazen altar. You know what the brazen altar is for? So when people came in, the Levitical, the priests would be there, and they would take the sacrifice. They would kill the sacrifice, put it on the altar as a, and that altar was a type of hellfire. And as a child of God, when you come to God, first thing you ought to be is on the altar. I'm a sacrifice. Take your Bible, look in Romans chapter 12, look at 1 and 2. Some of y'all were there, but you've gotten yourself up. We'll go back to 1 Samuel in a minute. We'll get back here in a minute. I want to show you something. Look at first Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Most Christians want to be in power. They want to be the king. Everybody wants to be king. They don't want to be a sacrifice. Romans 12, look at 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, You say, who's that talking about? Talking about you and I, Christians. A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. God doesn't want you to die. He wants you to live as a sacrifice. That means not your way, not my will, but thine be done. When I'm tired, you say, preacher, have you ever been tired? Oh, yeah. You ever felt like not going to church? Oh, yeah. You ever felt like not preaching? Oh, yeah. You ever felt like not praying? Yeah, man, come on. What do you think? I'm human just like you. You felt like laying out? Yeah, I felt like laying out, but I didn't. Why? I'm going to be a living sacrifice. So I got to get up in the morning. Yeah, I do too. We all do. I'm going to be a living sacrifice. I want to show the Lord. I'm serious about this thing. I'm serious about this Christian life. I mean, man, you know, the Mormons are serious about what they're doing. Jehovah's Witnesses are serious, and they're all wrong. They don't believe that Jesus Christ was God. They don't believe Jesus Christ could save a dead dog. They don't believe that. So here we are as Christians in this latter day, you know, late Laodicean period, and we think, oh, man, I just want to be king. I just want to enjoy myself. I wish I had that island that David Epstein had. I wish I had an island like that. Oh, man, I wish I could hit the lottery. I wish I could have all this. But, man, it ain't going to happen. Not until you get to heaven. It's all going to depend on what kind of sacrifice you are. All depends on that. Look at this. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. It's got to be a holy sacrifice. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable after what he did for you and I. Here, the God of the universe came down and born of a virgin woman and went through the things of a little child. You think about Mary, have to change the diaper of the Son of God. Think about Mary saying, okay, Jesus, come on, eat your food. Come on. He came down, the Bible says, he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Never disobeyed mom and dad, other than when he stood in the temple and they said, Lord, we've been searching for you for 3 days. And he said, I must be about my father's business. So, man, here we are. Here we are, 21st century. Are we a living sacrifice? I'm going to show you about that this morning. As a sacrifice, you don't have a say-so. You know that little lamb? They would carry that little lamb. They tie that little lamb. They would take it to the, and it says it had to be without spot or blemish. Without spot or blemish, God wouldn't accept it. And when the priests, when they came through that gate and they had that little lamb on a rope and they pulling it behind, it had to be a first year. And they brought that little lamb in there and the priest would look it over and make sure it was without spot or blemish. A lot of times you'd be you know, tempted to bring something sick or something that's got some kind of disease and say, well, let's sacrifice that. God said, no. You ain't going to do that. You're going to give me the best. So he brought the little lamb in, and they would take that lamb, they slit its throat, and then they would, you know, lay that lamb on the altar. And man, that was for their sin, for their family, for their own family. And then you would go in there, and that sacrifice would be there on the altar. And then you couldn't move on. You could not move on until you hit the sacrifice. Then you came to the, you know, the laver to clean yourself. That's a daily, like 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, just forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When was the last time you asked God to forgive you on the daily sin? Amen. Cleanse me, Lord. And then what happens is, you know, you move on. And then the blood's taken up. Now look at this. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you get your mind renewed? How do you get your mind renewed on a daily basis? You got to read the Word of God. If you're not reading the Bible, you don't see things the way God sees it. When you read the Bible, you get in the mind of God. That's the mind of God. You read your Bible, you go, okay, Lord, I promise you. I promise you, you read your Bible, God will speak to you. And when you read your Bible, that's how God speaks. And then when you pray, you talk to God. And when you go out witnessing, you're talking for God. And he'll give you power. I don't want to be a powerless Christian. Most Christians are powerless when it comes to serving God. They get their prayers answered. I mean, the witness to people as powerless Christians. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. You can prove God. You know, David said to Saul, Saul said, put on my armor. Go out there and fight that Goliath with my armor on. David said, no, I haven't proved this thing. What he's talking about, man, I haven't had no experience with this thing. God says, prove me. Get some experience with me. You get some experience talking to me. Get some experience reading the Word of God. Talk to me and let me talk to you. I'll tell you what, you'll start going, whew, man, he's alive. I didn't want to go on some preachers saying that he was alive. I wanted to know he was alive. I wanted to know. I want to know God's there. I want to know he answers prayer. I'll tell you what, I've seen the power of his name. I've dealt with people who had unclean spirits in them. I remember I was telling this story about, I preached on unclean spirits. I was down in D.C. and I walked up, these guys were fighting outside. And there was a black guy and a white guy. And they were both buddies, but they were drunk. And I walked over and my wife said, they're fighting out there. I went out there and I said, hey guys, I got down on one knee. I said, hey guys, you shouldn't be fighting out here, man. It's right on the street corner. I said, you shouldn't be fighting. I was sitting in the restaurant. We saw it. So I came out. You say, are you one of them guys get involved? Yeah, I always do. And I got involved. So I ran over there and I got down. I said, hey man, y'all shouldn't be fighting like this. I said, have y'all been drinking? And one guy started growling at me. He started going, like that. And I went, whoo. I stood up. I thought, this guy coming at me. And he goes, and he started growling, and he ran to the trash can. And he grabbed 2 quart bottles of beer, broke them, and ran at me. And all I did was say, in the name of Jesus, by the blood shed, I went put my finger at him. That dude stopped dead in his tracks. He dropped the bottles and turned around and walked down the street. But before that happened, when he was growling at me, the one guy reached over and said, hey, man, what's the matter with you? And he knocked him for a loop. He had an unclean spirit in him. You know what? When you're smoking dope, your door's shooting up, you're putting an unclean spirit in your body. You're putting that junk in your mind, in your head. And, man, unclean spirit controls you then. So this guy, man, he ran. And when I said that, he dropped the bottles. And he turned around, walked down the street like he forgot what he was ever doing. And I just went, God's proved to me who he is and the power he's proved to me. And Moses, he said to Moses, he said, hey, throw down your staff. Moses threw it down. It turned to a serpent. Moses ran. He said, no, go grab it. He said, grab it by the tail. That's not the way you pick up a snake. The snake can turn around and bite you. He said, pick it up. He picked it up, and the thing turned back to his staff. See, God had to prove to Moses who he was. God wants to prove to you who he is as his child. But here, go back to 1 Samuel 3. Here, these guys, they were in the office of a priesthood. And they were, and their dad was the high priest. It was Eli. And he was the high priest. And these guys were abusing the priesthood. You know what God did to them? If you read your Bible, they abused the priesthood. You hear what I said? They abused the priesthood. You know what you are? You're a priest unto God. They abused the priesthood. Look at here. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord and so on. And goes on down to God, where God tells Samuel that he's going to wipe out Eli's children, his 2 boys. And then on chapter 4, and it says Samuel was coming to Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched in Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in the Apex. And the Philistines had put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle and so on, going down to, for time's sake, and go down to verse 18. And it came to pass when they made a mention of the ark of God that he fell from off his seat backwards. We covered this last time a couple weeks ago. But by the side of the gate, and his neck break. This is talking about Eli. The Bible says Eli was the high priest. He heard that his sons were dead. Then he heard the ark of the covenant was taken. That was unheard of. That was unheard of. He went, my God, the Ark of the Covenant was taken? That's where God dwelled. They carried it into battle. They thought, as long as we got the Ark of the Covenant, God's with us. And they carried it into battle, and the Bible says they were it was taken by the Philistines. And we went through all that before. Look at verse 18 again. Came to pass when he made mention of the Ark of God that he fell from off his seat backwards and by the side of the gate, and his neck brake. And he died, for he was an old man, heavy, and he was a judge. He judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child and near to be delivered. When she heard that the tidings of the ark of God was taken, that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for pain came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast born a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. She named the child Ichabod. Ichabod, what a name. And saying, the glory is departed and is from Israel. The glory is departed from Israel. So these Levite boys were doing all kinds of stuff. They were messing with the women. They were taking the sacrifice that was supposed to be a certain amount, but they were taking more, and they were forcing people. They were doing all kinds of stuff. They were doing a lot of wrong. And God says, I'm going to do away with them. I'm going to do away with them. And finally, the Levitical priesthood, God did away with the whole thing. He said, that's it. He had Rome come in and destroy the temple and all that. So guess what? Take your Bible, look in 1 Peter. Look in 1 Peter. Look at this. I got so much to cover on this thing. The sacrificing and all that stuff. 1 Peter, look at chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Now, let's back up verse 1. Let's back up verse 1. Talking about God's children. We're trying to apply this now to us. As it comes to, you're the replacements of the Levitical priesthood. And Jesus Christ is our high priest. And we're supposed to be doing some things for God and offering up sacrifice, but we're supposed to be a sacrifice ourselves first. And what happens is, you get to a point, you say, I'm tired of sacrificing. And, you know, you say, I'm tired. I don't want to be a sacrifice no more. I want to reign. I want to be king. The only way that's going to happen is Jesus comes. That's the only way. But that's also conditional on whether you served him, whether you were a sacrifice, whether you were a priest or not. Look at this. Look at 1 Peter 5, 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking. Check it out. Talking to us. Lay aside that stuff. Guile, evil speaking, hypocrisy, envying. It says, as newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You know, most Christians, if you ask them today that got saved, you ask them to give you a scripture on what they ought to be doing as a child of God, they couldn't give you one. They couldn't quote one. They don't know any. Why? We spend most of our time looking at stats for football, baseball, soccer, all this other stuff, and then you don't know no scripture, or there's something that you like to do that you know everything about it, but you don't know nothing about that Bible. That's going to be eternity. It's going to dwell in eternity. He says, as newborn babes desire the milk of the word. How many of y'all just got saved recently? Just got saved. Raise your hand. The young lady right there. Anybody else just got saved? Right here. All right. What God wants you to do is grow. You say what? Spiritually grow. He wants you to know his word. He wants you to know him. And as children of God, how many of y'all been saved 5 years? Raise your hand. Oh, everybody, 5 years. There you go. How many of y'all been saved 10 years or more? Just 10 years, okay? God expects us to grow. You ought to be getting better and better and better, not weaker and less tolerant. You ought to be getting better and better. You ought to be growing. And as a child of God, I realize what happens is just God likens the Christian life just like the physical life. You got teenage years. How many of y'all been saved 13 years? So you're in the teenage years. What happens to teenagers? They think they know it all. Up to 19 years. Up to 19 years. 19 years? What happens is when you become, you know, teenage years, you think, I know it all. I know what I'm doing. Nobody can tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. And what happens is you're making a mess if you get that attitude. If you have that attitude, you'll make a mess. You got to be in the place where, God, I don't know. I just trust you. You got to have that attitude. And what happens is as you get older, you have a tendency. How many of y'all been saved more than 20 years? You have a tendency to back off and say, well, let somebody else do it. Let somebody else do that work. I'm just going to take it easy. I'm on vacation. Most Christians are on vacation all the time. I'm just not going to do it. I'll tell you what, I'm going to keep the hammer down, man. I'm going to keep the pedal to the metal. Why? Because this is, I'm racing against myself. You're racing against yourself. Look at here. I'm hitting everything right now. But look on down, verse 3. Or two, as newborn babies desire to sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You, how many of y'all have tasted that God is gracious? Amen. Amen. Man, I know. I was talking to somebody yesterday. Who was it? I was telling a guy, you need to get in church. I said, God's good. He goes, yeah, he's always good. It's just a statement he made. And I said, well, why ain't you in church? Why ain't you reading your Bible? Why ain't you praying? If God's good, how come you walk away from him? Well, I haven't walked away from it. Well, I said, you haven't gotten any closer. When you know what the old saying is, if you're not going forward, you're going backwards. You're going back, and God never parts water for any Christian going backwards. He only parts water for people going forward. As a Christian, as a child of God, you ought to be growing on a daily basis. We say, I don't have time. Don't even tell me that. When you watch TV 3 hours a night, and you telling me you ain't got time? You're looking at your phone for all day long? Amen. It's a wonder people don't slam in the walls more than what they do because they're walking around like this. It's so interesting what people might text you. They might say something to you. You might miss something. Look here. It says, in whom, if so that you taste the Lord is gracious, to whom coming? As on the lively stones, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up. Look at this. You're built up. A spiritual house. Look what it says. A holy priesthood. To offer up what? Come on. What, offer up what? Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. When was the last time you offered up a spiritual sacrifice? A spiritual sacrifice. Rather than saying, Lord, help me hit the lottery. God, help me hit the lottery. Please, God, if you give it to me, you let me hit the lottery, I'll give you 50%. I promise. Come on, man. That, they have that thing on football. They always had this segment. They always say, come on, man. Come on, man. Who you think you're fooling? Come on, man. That's a joke. It says, look at verse 6. Wherefore, also is contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth in him shall not be conformed. He that shall not be conformed. Now unto you, which believe that he is precious. How many of y'all believe Jesus is precious? It says, unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. A stone of what? Stumbling. I don't want to stumble. You know why I see so many Christians stumbling? Because they go revert back to the old way. Amen. And it says, a rock of offense. Somebody mentions Jesus Christ, you're ashamed. The only thing that they mention Jesus Christ around, they'll mention Jesus Christ around you in a cuss word. They'll say blankety blank, blankety blank, and you just go, yeah. Saved. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto, I didn't say you're disobedient, God says it. Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and I know something about Israel, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Look at the verse says, next verse, which in time past were not a people, but are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained, that's on Gentiles too. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Fleshly lust will war. And usually, if you're not fighting, it's going to win. If you don't read your Bible, fortify yourself. The Bible says put on the whole armor of God. If you're not doing that, fleshly lust will win. It'll take you over. That's why a lot of people are sitting at home this morning. They were out last night drinking, saved, doing stuff, playing video all night long. Church has become, I can do it anytime. Spiritual things, I can do it anytime. Fleshly lust, war against your soul. Look what it says. It says, dearly beloved, Peter's writing, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversations honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they shall behold. Glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to kings or supreme. There it is. On the governors, as on them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. That's why we have cops and all those things. For the praises of them that do evil. For it is the will of God. There, you want to know the will of God? Right there. Obey the law. Obey the law. Say, what happens if you don't obey the law? You get a ticket. I've got many tickets. And you know what I do? I thank the cop. I don't get mad and say, why don't you go find somebody killing somebody? No, I don't do that. That's stupid to say something like that. Amen. When everybody's trying to kill them. Right. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now take your Bible, look in Ephesians 5. Look in Ephesians 5. Man, I got to hurry. Good night. Time's flying by. Ephesians 5. People think, well, you know, I'm saved now. I'm going to heaven. I can do whatever I want. Well, God's gift. It's just like the Lord gave that little boy came up with the lunch basket, and it was his. He could do whatever he wanted with it. But he gave it to Jesus Christ. He got to see a miracle, got to see everybody fed, and then he 12 baskets taken up. What a blessing. You give your life to God as a living sacrifice, you'll see blessings upon blessings. Then you become that priest, and God hears your prayers. Why? Because he already knows that you're willing. You're a sacrifice. He already knows it. I've had people tell me all the time. They're sitting there going, God don't answer my prayers. I don't know why he don't answer my prayers. He don't even hear my prayers. Well, you're a disobedient child. Amen. You haven't sacrificed nothing. Look at Ephesians 5. Look at Ephesians 5, 2. Let's start verse 1. But ye therefore, followers of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ also have loved us, have given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't run with them. Don't hang around with them. Don't be a partaker with them. But ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable on the Lord. Have no fellowship on unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. He says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, But whatsoever doeth make manifest is the light. Therefore, wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools. Circumspect is walking along, being careful where you're walking, what you're doing. You're walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You're careful where you go. You're careful what you put on Facebook. You're careful what you do, all that stuff. Why? It might give somebody the wrong impression about your life.
Amen.
You're careful about that stuff. You're watching that stuff. Some people, I've seen Christian people proud as a peacock putting stuff on there that are wicked.
Right.
It's wicked.
Amen.
Proud as a peacock. Like, say something to me, go ahead. I won't come to church no more. You deal with God.
Amen.
Now, this is sacrifice I'm talking about. I'm talking about sacrifice. Look what else it says. So then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You said, what are you trying to do, preacher? You're trying to scorn everybody? No. I'm trying to help my brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? I love you. I expect you, if I'm not walking right, I hope you tell me.
Amen.
Tell me. If I'm not doing it right, say, preacher, I've been praying for you. If you walk by and say, hey, I'm praying for you, I appreciate that. Look what the Bible says. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This is God's will. God's will for a sacrifice. And you want your prayers answered? To be in the priesthood when it comes to praying. The Bible says, let prayers be made. Now take your Bible, look at Philippians chapter 2. It's all the way through this Bible. Philippians 2. Look at verse 17. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and the service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Paul's talking about. He said, I'm sacrificing myself for you guys. You know what? You know what a Christian's supposed to be doing? I had to tell somebody this week. You know how you know you're an adult Christian? I'll tell you how you know you're an adult Christian. Now, not a teenager, because a teenager wants to fight back. How do you know you're an adult Christian? When somebody's attacking you, you still trying to help them. And you got their best interests at heart. You're still trying to help them. Even though they're saying stuff about you, and you heard they said this stuff, you're still trying to help them. Say, where you get that at? Jesus Christ did that. So when you're being attacked by other Christians or even other people, you still got the best interest of the heart. I had a guy, I went to work for Wagner Roofing Company, and this guy, man, he was a mechanic before I came there. And when I came in there, he had dirty pictures all over the walls, everywhere, dirty pictures of women. I went in there, and the boss said, you run the shop, preacher, you got it. Whatever you do is fine with me. I went in there, so I started taking the pictures down, ripping them up, putting them in the trash can. The guy came back off the job, and he came, and somebody said, preacher, tore up all your pictures. Threw him in the trash can. He come in and he wanted to fight. He said, you ain't got no right touching my stuff. That's my stuff. I said, that stuff's in my shop. I don't want that junk. He said, that you ain't got no right. He said, I'll whoop you. I said, "Feel if you feel froggy, boy, you won't get whooped by a preacher. You come on. He said, did you hate the guy? Nope. That guy, he was running around, acting like, I said, look, this is my shop. I'll take care of the shot. That junk don't need to be in here. You don't need to have it in your life. I said, you married? He said, yeah. Well, I said, well, ain't you satisfied with your wife? You got to look at other women? And he says, man, get out of my face. He went out. I prayed, Lord, help me be his friend. Help him come to me so I can help him to get saved. That old boy's mama got in the hospital. Every day I walk by, I say, hey, brother, how you doing, man? He said, don't talk to me. I said, hey, you all right? I'm praying for you. These guys that work with me over there, they know. And this guy finally came up, and he said, hey, preacher, my mom's in the hospital, man. Will you pray with me? I said, sure, let's pray right now. I got to lead that guy to Christ. Became a friend. I didn't hold anything against him. Look here, Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. I got to close. There's so much of this thing. There's so much of this sacrifice, being a living sacrifice. and interceding for people and praying for people. And let me ask you something. Somebody cut you off in traffic, do you blow up? Do you start cursing? Do you throw a fit when things don't go your way? Start cussing? Start saying all kinds of bad things? You do that? You don't have control of your body? The Bible talks about temperance, controlling your temper. Can you do that? It says, be angry, but sin not. You can be angry, but it says, don't sin when you're angry. Can you control yourself? If God's inside you and you're saved, if you're growing, you ought to be able to control the thing. Right? Amen. Am I right or am I wrong? The Bible's right. Look here. 17 or 18. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of a good comfort when I know of your state. He wants to know of your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Timothy cared for the church. He cared for the people. He cared about souls. He says, for all seek their own. Put yourself, think about it. Are you in there? All seek their own, not the things which are Christ Jesus. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it'll go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. And he goes on naming some other people that helped. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. He says, verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing with God. I mean, man, but my God, should supply all your needs according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I mean, he says, what you sent, and he says, I received, he said it was a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, a well-pleasing of God. I mean, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to be a sacrifice. And when you give to things, helping the children of God, if there's a brother or sister in need, you help them out. Go with me to 1 Timothy and we'll close this. I got so much here to cover. I want to talk about Jesus Christ being our high priest and show you some things on that. But look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 2, look what it says. I exhort therefore, Timothy, he's writing to Timothy. Paul is writing to Timothy. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication and prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. That means you pray for your country, pray for your president, pray for the different ones in charge. For kings, for all that are in charge and authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. And see, he's saying we all, man, we need to be together, praying, sacrifice, interceding for people as priests. You're not going to be a king unless you served. You're not. You say, well, I don't want to be king. I just want to have my log cabin on the other side of glory land. Well, it's going to bother you to get to heaven and find out you never did anything for God. You never prayed for anybody but yourself. And that God would give you. And then you get to heaven and find out what it's all about. And what I'm trying to do is try to show you a little bit this morning. This is what it's all about. After you get saved, it's just putting yourself saying, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'm a sacrifice. I'm going to give myself to you. But it's on a daily basis. on a daily basis and saying, God, I want to be used. God hears those prayers. Those prayers, when you pray and you start praying for other people to get saved, pray for other brothers and sisters in Christ, they might grow. Those that have fallen by the wayside, they might get back up, maybe even go after them. And boy, that's the things that a child of God, as a sacrifice, as a priest, ought to be doing. The Levitical priesthood, God done away with. You took your place. You know what they did? The priests would meet. They would meet the people coming in, and they would have that sacrifice, and they would take it, and they would put it on the altar. They would do that. We're supposed to be doing that, giving ourselves, interceding. I mean, it's not a physical, altar anymore. It's not a physical, priesthood anymore. It's a spiritual. We're in a spiritual realm. And we're supposed to be doing that on a, as a spiritual child of God. And we, you know, everybody wants to think they're spiritual. But the Bible says, if a man loves God, the same is known of him. If you love God, it's all over your face. You can't help it. If you don't, and you're a disobedient child of God, it's all over your face as well. I'll tell you what, here we are, September 1st. We've got a few more months before the end of the year. It's time to get things. What if the Lord came? Now, the Feast of the Tabernacles is September, in between September and October. The Lord could come in that time. He could come in that period. What if he does? Are you going to go home in shame? Or are you going to go home in victory? Lord, I tried to serve you, Lord. It wasn't much, but I tried. And the Lord said, I know you did. Well done. I want that to be said. I'm trying. Lord, thank you, God, for your mercy and grace this morning.